All right, amen. God's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all start thinking up some testimonies and stuff. I might start calling on you instead of asking. Amen. The Bible says, let them that are redeemed, what? Say so, amen. Be ready to give an answer to every man. So we ought to be able to praise him and thank him. All right, we're studying the dispensations here, and we're going to continue on tonight with another one. We've got a few more to go to finish the 10 that I presented when we originally started. And then when I finish up doing the dispensations, I'm going to kind of put a pause on the rightly dividing dispensation study and switch to another subject, kind of change it up a little bit. But we're going to start dealing with the home. I started it a couple years ago when we first started the church, and then I stopped it, and I want to get back on it. On Wednesday nights, we're going to deal with the home and look at different aspects of the home, the mom, the dad, the husband, wife, the children, grandparents, and dealing with different things on that. So I think we're going to go switch back to that after I finish up with the dispensations. We still have several weeks to go on this before we're done, but just kind of a little commercial to what we're going to do next. The next dispensation we have, we've been going through here covering these, and we have the dispensation of innocence and the one of conscience, the one of human government, the dispensation of promise. And this week we're going to look at the dispensation of law. The dispensation of law. It's another time period in which God dealt differently with man. There are some things that changed. And as God went through there, as you read through your Bible, you see there's some changes that take place. And the dispensation of law is the next one. This dispensation in your Bible, it covers Exodus chapter 9, verse 7. And it goes all the way through John chapter 19, verse 30. Exodus 9, 7 through John 19, 30. And that's what covers this dispensation of the law. The law, this dispensation begins when the law was given at Mount Sinai. When it was given at Mount Sinai. And we're going to look at a little bit of that here in just a moment when it comes to when that law was given out. This dispensation goes all the way through Calvary. And this one kind of intertwines with the ministry to Israel, because the dispensation of law was up until the prophets and Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. And the law continues all the way until Jesus Christ dies on the cross. So it ends with Calvary. But there's a transition, and there's some things going on in between the law and Christ showing up. When Jesus Christ shows up, there's some things that change. And so that's why I have it broke out as a different dispensation. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, when he was here and he was preaching and teaching and preaching and offering the kingdom, that was all still under the dispensation of law. They were still under the law at that time. And they still had to keep some of those things. But Jesus Christ showed up and he began preaching some other things. And he began to offer the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And so the dispensation of law begins with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And it ends with Calvary. Now, the dispensation of law, it seems like there was even a transition when the dispensation of grace began. I want to show you just a couple of verses. Look at Acts chapter number 15. And I try not to confuse anybody here. I hope this makes sense. But you have the dispensation of law that begins with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And it ends with the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But there were still people after the cross, whenever Paul comes on the scene, which is the next dispensation we're going to look at after the ministry to Israel. We're going to look at the dispensation of grace, the grace of God. God saves Paul, and he gives Paul some instructions for man that he has not given anybody else up to this point. He tells them something different about the cross and what has happened, that people are saved by grace through faith. It's not the law anymore. It's not keeping the law. The law is now a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. And Paul tells us all those things. But there are people that were living under the dispensation of law that were alive during Christ's earthly ministry, and John the Baptist and Peter, they're all preaching John's baptism, which is a continuation of the law in the ministry to Israel. But Paul comes on the scene, and in Acts chapter 15, there's a council that takes place. I'm trying to give you a snapshot. We'll eventually get to some of this. But Acts chapter 15, there's a council that takes place. because Paul is preaching a different gospel than what they've been being preached. He's preaching that the Jew and the Gentile in one body are saved by grace through faith. Add nothing, take nothing away. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's what he's preaching. Well, these Jewish men come in, and if you read the book of Galatians, Paul deals with this. They come in there, and they're trying to get Paul's converts to go back under the law. Now, we talked about the dispensation of promise and the Jewish people and the Jews, and for them to seal that covenant, their physical circumcision was involved. And I had a guy ask me, what was the... he said, what about the wives? You know, how were they... You know, as far as the circumcision goes and all that. And in the Bible, all the way from the beginning, and it's supposed to be this way today. God never changed it. But a lady or woman is always to be under the authority of a man. It's been that way since the very beginning. A woman is always, and you say, well, you know, you're saying that. And all, the Bible talks about that. Since the beginning of time, God, and when Eve messed up in the garden, you can blame her for it. Because the part of the curse that was brought down to woman, am I right, Brother Heights? I'm getting a lot of strange looks. God told woman, you are going to be in submission to the man. You're going to be in submission to the man. The question was brought up the other day about the verse in Ephesians that says, submit ye one to another. That's not talking about a man submitting to his wife. It's saying that everybody submits to somebody. Everybody does. And you say, well, you're the head of the household. You're pastor of a church. I still have people I submit under. Everybody submits to somebody. And the very top of the whole thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all fall under submission to somebody. And the wife is supposed to submit to her husband. And so since the beginning, the woman is always supposed to be in submission to the man that God's placed in her life. And whether that's a dad and a father, and I don't care if she's 40 years old, she's under submission to her father until the day that she gets married. That's not popular teaching today. I know that with all the... You know, women's rights movements and all that, and I'm not degrading them. I love women. I'm married to one. Amen. I like my wife, but I'm just saying that that's totally against the world society today. But in the Old Testament, going through there all the way through the Bible, a lady was always supposed to submit to her husband, and then that got handed on to the to her father. Then that got handed on to the husband. They said, "Well, what happens if there's no husband or there's no father in the picture?" God always had somebody for her to submit to. And in the New Testament, if there was a widow and she didn't have a father and didn't have a husband, she fell under the authority of the pastor of the church. Is that not right, Brother Heitch? So God has set it up that way. That's how he did it. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. Amen? But that's how it's supposed to be all the way through there. So in the Old Testament, when they're under the law, that woman was in submission to her husband or should be with that man. If he did what he was supposed to, then his family would fall in order with it behind there. So the woman herself didn't have to be circumcised, but it was that man as the head of the household was the spiritual leader of that home. And he was either going to get in on it or he was not. And if he didn't, he was messing with his whole family. And it's the same way today. If you find a man that will not get right with God and he won't lead his family spiritually, it's going to mess up the rest of the family no matter how hard they try. But that man's going to have to stand before God and give an account for every word, for everything he did raising that family. And that wife's going to give an account for whether or not she submitted to that husband and did what he asked of her. And as long as it's not something just immoral or, you know, some gross sin, you know, you got to obey your husband. You got to obey your dad. You know, I know young ladies today, they're almost brainwashed by the public school systems and these colleges and all these kind of things that, man, I'm not listening to no man. Well, that's directly against the Word of God. It is. You say, well, my husband or my dad doesn't do what he said. Well, pray for him. And I'm going to go back to dealing with the family later on. But I've dealt with some stuff with, I know Miss Ashley, I work with her, so I'm not going to say much, but there's some folks that I work with that have come to me and asking stuff and kind of counseling, and it's amazing the thought pattern that married people go through today. It's messed up. This world is completely perverted the thinking of it. But, you know, if you do it God's way, this doesn't matter what it is, church, family, home, marriage, do it God's way and you'll be happy. There will be peace. There will be joy. There will be, and say, hey, I'm just doing it God's way. I just want to please the Lord. And so, I don't know how I got off on that. Oh, about the circumcision. The women didn't get circumcised. They followed their husbands or their fathers. Okay, so this ministry of the dispensation of the law continues through there. Paul comes on the scene, and now in Acts 15, Paul's preaching to the churches, and he's telling them, you're saved by grace through faith. And there's these Jewish men came in, and they're trying to get Paul's converts to be circumcised. They're trying to get them to keep the law and fall back under the law. And so a council is brought up here in Acts 15, and they bring Paul in, and they say, hey, you've been preaching something different. We're preaching something different. We got to get on the same page here and find out what's going on. God never told Peter, James, and John to preach anything different. He told them a change was coming, and he used Acts chapter 10. When you have that, you have Cornelius there. You have there in Acts chapter 10, Peter sees a vision coming down of all this meat, and God shows Peter that something's changing. He shows John, he shows these men that something's changing. But not John, John went there. Peter. He shows Peter that something's changing, and then here in Acts 15. They sit down, Paul talks to them, and look with me in Acts chapter 15, verse number 10. This is what was decided at this council. And I'm trying to summarize it without reading all the verses. This is what was decided at this council in Acts 15. The Bible said, and Paul covers this in Galatians chapter 2. You can go read it in Galatians chapter 2. All right, Acts 15 and verse number 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? To put a yoke, that yoke it represents the law, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. They could not keep the law. They couldn't do it. And then verse number 11, but we believe, this is Peter speaking, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Paul starts preaching this salvation by grace through faith, and God showed him this thing, and that Jews and Gentiles are saved in one body. Peter and some of these others are preaching something else. They're still preaching John's baptism. They get together, they said, hey, from this day going forward, we know that we're saved just like they are. But there's still a transition going on. Because going forward, anybody that gets saved is saved by grace through faith. But I'm about to show you at the end of the book of Acts, there's still people that are keeping the law for their salvation. There's still people keeping the law. In the end of, you say, what is it? Those people were already under law. That's what they knew. That's what they believed. They were on John's baptism. And there's a transition. And so I guess you could possibly say that the law died with those that were under the law. And you say, what do you mean by, I mean, the people that, you know, you're sitting there one day and you're like, all right, family, you know, we're circumcised and we're keeping the law and we're doing everything we're supposed to try to be right with God here. And this is what we're preached. We've all been baptized with water, which was a requirement for salvation. Acts 2:38 says that clearly. And so we've done all this thing. And now Paul shows up and he's preaching something different. All right. Well, all these people that were saved under that law, that thing died off with them. And there was a transition that took place. It appears this way. Look at Acts chapter number 21. I'm not trying to confuse nobody. I'm just, when you say the dispensation of law begins at Mount Sinai, it ends at Calvary. It did. Christ was the end of the law, but there were still people that kept the law after Christ died. And they still continued on. They died and went on. Actually, at the end of the book of Acts, we're going to Acts chapter 21, but God told Paul not to go back to Jerusalem. And he told him not to go back there because the Jews were upset about what he was preaching. They were upset that he was preaching this something different than what they had been taught their entire life. Now, can you imagine that if you grew up, and we got some young men in here that have grown up in church, and they've heard you're saved by grace through faith, you're saved by grace through faith, and somebody comes walking in here and goes, guys, that's how it was, but something's changed. Could you imagine how you would feel about that? Amen. You say, God, you're going to have to show me. Well, God did show some of them, and they still had a hard time with it, and I'm going to show you that. They still had a hard time with it. And you say, well, how do I know when it changes again? Well, I believe the church is going to be out of here. Amen. So if you can't find us, then it changed. And you better go read the book of James and really get a hold of it. Acts chapter 21. Look at this. Now, this is after the council. This is after Peter said, we're all going to be saved just like they are. From this point forward, we are saved by grace through faith. That's what he said over there. That's how it's going to be. All right, Acts chapter 21, look at verse number 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Paul's given an update about his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are zealous of the law, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What he's telling them is, hey, you're off preaching this thing, and you're telling these Jews now, you need to be saved by grace through faith. You don't have to do those things anymore for salvation. Circumcision is not required. You don't have to keep the law for salvation. You don't have to do all these things. And there were still a sect of Jews that's all they knew. And that they were mad at Paul for preaching that. They were upset about it. Verse number 22, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. This is one of those times that Paul went back and God didn't want him to go. Verse number 23, do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such things, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things from strangled, and from fornication. Which God told them that earlier. He said, hey, we're saved by grace through faith. In Acts 15, he tells them that, and he says, but we don't want you to partake of things that are strangled and of blood or things offered to idols. He told them the same thing in Acts 15. But we find a group of Jews here, and Peter's here, and these men, and he's telling Paul, hey, you're preaching something that's different than what they believe. They already determined in Acts 15 that we're saved by grace through faith, but yet these Jews are with Peter in Jerusalem, and they're practicing something different. They're doing something different. Now, Peter wants Paul to go in there and shave his head and all these things to make it look like he's keeping the law because he wanted to try to keep Paul alive. But there's still people, even at the end of the book of Acts, that kept trying to do that. So that thing had to die off with those folks. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I told you the dispensation of the gospel, the grace of God, was given to Paul. The ministry to the Gentiles was given to Paul. The ministry to the Jews, go back and read Galatians chapter 2, was given to Peter. Peter was to go to the Jews. Paul was to go to the Gentiles. Look what Peter says here at the end of his life, at the end of 2 Peter chapter number 3. This is one of the last things that he says in his book. This is one of the last things that he speaks. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, Peter never truly, fully understood the gospel of the grace of God. He did. I mean, he never fully grasped it. It wasn't given to him. It was given to Paul. Peter was given a different ministry. He was preaching, man. When he was preaching to the Jews over in Acts 2, he was calling them every name under the book for killing Christ. Paul shows up and says, man, Jesus dying was the greatest thing that ever happened to us. When Peter's preaching, he's like, you bunch of uncircumcised, you know what, you know, going on and on. Because he was preaching it was a bad thing that they killed Christ. He was asking them to get right with God and ask forgiveness for killing Christ. He wasn't telling them, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He wasn't telling them that. He said, you need to repent for what you did killing Christ and be baptized. That's not how we're saved. I'm not saved for repenting for killing Christ and getting water baptized. So Peter's, he never fully got it, and you can see that right here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scripture unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest also ye being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter tells this this book he's writing here at the very end, this letter, he's saying, Paul wrote some things that are hard to be understood. Now, I don't have one problem with anything that Paul wrote. There's no, as a matter of fact, Paul is very plain in his, the Bible even said that he, you know, was kind of rude in speech. And he, whenever Paul came and he preached, you knew exactly what he was saying. What Peter's talking about here was, hey, I don't fully understand this thing that you're saved by grace through faith. Because we, you know, we knew something different. We knew John's baptism. We knew we had to keep the law. And there's some things that are hard to be understood. There's some people that still wrestle with it. They're struggling with it. They're having a hard time with it, even to their own destruction. And so he wrote those things. So he never fully, you know, he said some of this is just hard to be understood. And the reason was, it was never given to him. It was given to the Apostle Paul. So the dispensation of law begins on Mount Sinai with the giving of the law. It ends with Calvary because Christ abolished the law on the cross. But yet you still see, when you're studying through the book of Acts and you go through there and look, you see there's still people that keep the law. There's still people going under John's baptism because there's a transition that's taking place. And one of the most dangerous books in the Bible, if you misread it or misunderstand it, is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transitional book. You're going from law to grace. And that transition is throughout the book of Acts. It's throughout the whole book of Acts. I just showed you over there at the end of Acts 28 where there's still people keeping the law. I can show you after that council where Paul and Peter and these others decided that, yes, we are saved by grace through faith, where Paul would run across some of Peter's converts. And when he came across Peter's converts, he didn't preach the grace through faith. He preached something different. When he ran across those that they weren't new Christians, they weren't new people he was trying to lead to God, these were people that were Peter's converts, and they were keeping the law and doing what they knew to do. They had John's baptism. And when Paul came across them, he preached something different. Say, was he wrong for doing that? No. He was. There was a transition. And so there's a lot of different beliefs and a lot of different doctrines and churches that are created out of verses in the book of Acts. You got to be very careful, man. It can. Hey, a matter of fact, I believe maybe some of you remember how many different types of salvation are there in the book of Acts? You remember? I know you kind of went over some of this stuff. I forget how many there was. There's like 8 or 9 different things where someone was told how to be saved in the book of Acts. Why? There's a transition going on. Every one of them weren't saved by grace through faith. There was some of them where you had to, and that's why some of these charismatics and that get so messed up, because they go through, they'll take a verse out of there, and it's a transition. There's a transition going on. We know Paul makes it clear that we're saved by grace through faith right now. And Peter acknowledged it in Acts 15. Yes, going forward, that's how it's going to be. Everywhere Paul went from then on, when he was trying to win people to Christ, he preached by grace through faith. There was times in the book of Acts where he came across Peter's converts, and he just strengthened what Peter was preaching to him. And so there's a lot of transition going on there. I'm going to stop right there, and then we're going to continue on the dispensation of the law, Lord willing, next Wednesday. And